You are listening to the Retirement Wisdom Podcast, focusing on the changing nature of retirement today and the non-financial aspects of a successful retirement transition. Join host Joe Casey and learn from leading experts in the field and the stories of people who created interesting second acts as they share practical ideas and tips to create your own. Check out our website at retirementwisdom.com, where you can download our newsletter and other resources to learn more about how coaching can help you. The best way to support this podcast is to head over to Apple Podcasts and post a rating and a comment. It's easy and it's free. Join our conversations and get wiser about your retirement.
Welcome to this episode of the Retirement Wisdom Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Casey, and I'm joined today by co-host Dennis Westman. Our guest today is Leif Dahlin. He's a former anesthesiologist who retired from medicine at the age of 43, having achieved financial independence several years earlier. He started his blog, Physician on Fire, in January 2016. To enlighten, educate, and entertain other high-income professionals while discussing money matters of all sorts. He achieved both his bachelor's and medical degree from the University of Minnesota. He is happily married with two children. He and his family call Northern Michigan their home base and spend much of the year traveling. Leif, is there anything else that you'd like to add to your bio?
No, that sounds pretty much like me. Right now we're traveling in Spain, and we tried to record from Mexico, but the Mexican internet was not as strong as the Spanish version here. So I'm glad I was able to join you, Joe and Dennis.
Thanks for making the time. What a beautiful country you're spending time in. Our oldest daughter had her wedding there back in August, and we enjoyed the 2 weeks we spent
there. Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, there are palm trees, which are, you know, a really nice sight to see in the winter for us, you know, coming from Minnesota and Michigan.
Yes. So how would you explain the FIRE movement to someone who's not familiar with it?
Well, I guess I would start with the fact that FIRE, F-I-R-E, is an acronym, and the F-I is the most important part. That's financial independence, which means not just being financially independent of your parents moving out of the house, but actually having the assets to support your spending indefinitely. And that can be defined a couple of different ways through, you know, your net worth in retirement savings and or cash flow from investments that throw off passive or semi-passive income. So that's the FI part. RE is retire early, which is optional, but it's an option that I chose. And if you are financially independent, that means you can afford to retire early. So it's one thing you can do with it.
And the FIRE movement clearly started heavily in the blogosphere, so to speak, but it's getting much more attention in the mainstream press all the time. And one thing I've noticed in following is that many people are designing creative lives in early retirement. And it sounds like you and your wife are living very interesting ones. And for those who don't follow your blog, Physician on Fire, yet, could you tell us about what you're doing now after retiring in August?
Oh, sure. And you're right. You do see quite a few more articles in the mainstream media talking about people that are doing things like we're doing. It's interesting because the people that are quoted, which, you know, includes me and a number of other bloggers, podcasters, we're all bloggers and podcasters. So you're getting a kind of a skewed view in a way. I think for every one of us who are out there producing online content, there are hundreds or thousands of people doing this, and you don't hear as much from them. But as far as what we're doing, I love to travel, and our kids are now 9 and 11 years old, and they're great travelers as well. They enjoy it. So we went to Mexico for 2 months. As I mentioned earlier, we were there when we tried to chat with one another from Guanajuato, Mexico. We also visited Mexico City and Querétaro, and just kind of lived, someplace far, far south of, like I said, the upper Midwest, where we do like to spend at least part of the year. Now we're in Spain for another 2 months after having gone home for the holidays, and we plan to do this for at least a couple, maybe up to 3 or 4 years before our oldest would be of high school age and ready to most likely enroll in traditional high school. We're homeschooling or world schooling at the moment.
Ah. That must be a great experience for your children.
Yeah, they really soak it in. They from a young age have been traveling with us on different vacations and frequently between Minnesota and Michigan, where my family and my wife's family is. So they're used to traveling, and we're trying to give them the cultural experience. We're trying to show them that just because we come from a fairly privileged background, me being a doctor and all, that there are other parts of the world that are not so privileged. Like, for example, we spent a couple weeks in Honduras, and part of that was a medical mission trip for me and a volunteer trip for the rest of the family, where we were living on a large rural ranch that was a children's home for several hundred disadvantaged kids in Honduras. And to be disadvantaged in Honduras is, it's pretty serious, because even the, well-to-do there are not all that well off. So it's been a really eye-opening and a great experience for our boys, no doubt.
So what led you to want to retire early, and what was your decision-making process like?
I didn't enter the field of anesthesiology or medicine in general with any intention of retiring early. And I did think maybe when I'm in my 50s and we have an empty nest, I'll slow down and maybe we'll do some traveling work, that kind of thing. But once I discovered this FIRE movement that we talked about a minute ago, I looked at our investments and kind of crunched the numbers and realized that we pretty much had that magic 25x, or 25 times our approximate annual spending, which means we could live with a 4% withdrawal rate for a very long time, if not indefinitely, on just what I had saved already. Now, I wasn't ready to quit right then, obviously. It was new information to me, but it was very, very surprising and very interesting to know that. And so I did a lot more reading and started to build a spreadsheet and kind of look at some projections where we might be in 5 years, and then talked with my wife about what she might want life to look like. And then we crafted this plan where if I didn't have a job, we would be much more free to travel, spend time with our kids. And we decided that was the way we wanted to go. So it ended up being about four and a half years from the time I discovered the concept till I actually decided to leave my job and most likely leave medicine for good. And so it's only been 5-6 months now since then, but so far it's been awesome.
Last issue of Kiplinger magazine had a cover article about test driving retirement. And I noticed that you took some steps to test drive what early retirement would be like before you took the plunge in August. What did you do to test drive it, and what did you learn?
I didn't see that article, but I'll have to look back for that one. Yeah, I did. I started working part-time. I had a conversation with, we were in a small anesthesia group of employed doctors. And I said, I think I might be ready to slow down when our most senior partner wants to do that, maybe share a job. And we didn't know when that might be. And the guy that does the scheduling figured he could find a way for me to slow down anytime I wanted. And I said, okay, how about later this year? And we put together a schedule where my four partners worked about 10% more than they were before, and I worked 40% less. So it all came out in the wash, and our salaries were adjusted. So for the last 2 years of my career, I was working a 0.6 FTE job. And the way I worked it, I worked a whole bunch of hours, back-to-back days, a full 72-hour weekend on call. And then I would have like 3 weeks off at a time. And we used that time to do the things we wanted to do as a early retired family. So we took some long, what I call slow travel trips, a few weeks in Hawaii, that trip to Honduras, where we also went to Roatan and had some beach time and family time and kind of vacation. We also went to Mexico, Guanajuato, which became a kind of a favorite little city of ours. So yeah, we kind of tried it out, realized that I didn't miss work when I was away a few weeks at a time, and decided that, this was the way to go for us.
And Leif, a lot of the transition you had was around work and slowing it down and starting to make a change as to the structure of that. What about the psychological elements of preparing for this next stage of what you were going to do?
Yeah, that's a good question, Dennis. I think the more that you have your identity and there's some ego in it, especially for physicians, you know, wrapped up in your job, the more difficult that transition would be. And I think compared to at least a lot of my peers, I probably didn't maybe have that identity. So, the doctor part of my life, like my identity, not sure the best way to say that, but there's a lot of things I do, and I usually don't lead with, you know, oh, I'm a doctor, or I was a doctor. I have a lot of hobbies. I've had a lot of friends outside of medicine, and it's never been something that I feel like needs to be a part of my life necessarily. It was a great career, good job, worked with a lot of awesome people, but it was never something where I woke up every day and just had to get into that hospital. You know, it's something I did because that's what you do. You go to work.
And boy, that really must help with the transition, because that's a healthy way to think of yourself. Yeah, not what you do. It's not who you are. And we had a podcast guest on who's a professor at the University of Toronto, Michelle Panner Silver. And she, her book was about retirement and its discontents. And it was about a number of people, including physicians, and how hard the transition was if they had tied their identity to their work.
Right. And I hear about them all the time. You know, people fail retirement or just become miserable because they lose that sense of purpose. And, you know, one thing that I've found, and we'll probably talk about this a little bit more, but as an anesthesiologist, I would take care of two, three, maybe four patients, four patients at a time. Whereas now I'm able to help hundreds of people, thousands of people with a website. And so I still have some sense of purpose in that regard. And that's also made the transition quite a bit easier, I think, for me.
And so how would you describe what the transition has been like so far? I know it's still early, but what surprised you?
The transition, what's it been like? You know, I get more sleep and uninterrupted sleep, no more pagers going off at all hours of the night, which became a part of my life for the last 20 some years. No big surprises. I think practicing our early retirement lifestyle for a bit made it easier. I would say that I'm living a healthier lifestyle. There's less stress now. There's more time to exercise. Here in Valencia, Spain, there's this amazing park that runs through the city, and it used to be an old riverbed. So it's hundreds of yards wide and about 5 miles long. And my wife and I are out there running, training for a half marathon four times a week. Love it. And it's been good. So, you know, we've got more time to prepare healthy meals and really, I don't know where these people who come up with the idea that you're going to become less healthy in retirement. And I don't know, maybe they're sitting on the couch or doing something wrong. But, for me, it's been definitely a change for the better in terms of health and fitness, I believe.
And it sounds like you have more freedom to really be active in the ways you want to be and spend time in the things that you really want to do.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't have to choose between, well, do I play some games with my kids or exercise or prepare a meal. I can do all those things in one day. And that's awesome.
That's great. I also noticed with people in your foreign profession, anesthesiologists, that they have a sense of humor. I think I may have mentioned my story when we talk about the other one. I've only had anesthesia twice in my life. The first time was when I had a colonoscopy, and the anesthesiologist came over and said, "You look really nervous." I said, "Well, I've never had this before." I said, "Well, let me see what I can do." So she went out and then said, "I'll turn on some music to relax you." And the song that came up was, "We're going to take you up to the spirit in the sky. That's where you're going to go when you die."
Whoops. Matt, I would have gone with like Pink Floyd's Comfortably Numb or something more along those lines. That's pretty funny. But, you know, one of the things we like to do is help keep patients kind of at ease, because it's a very unusual day for you as a patient going in, something you might do a few times in your life. Whereas for us, it's an everyday thing. So we have to kind of try to lighten the mood at times. And I think I did a decent job of that.
So you've given us a great picture into how you're spending your time, investing your time in your retirement. And For those who might be skeptical about early retirement, what would you say is great about it? And are there any things you find you miss about work?
Well, I do miss the people. I worked with some great people, like I said, and you know, I don't see them very often anymore. I don't miss that pager. Yeah, no, I know I keep saying it, but I still have like pager PTSD, right? I'll hear like a beep that was similar to the first tone of the pager, and my like left hand reaches for the belt where it was, and it's not there. I'm like, oh, yeah, that was the washing machine or my microwaved, you know, whatever's finished. But I forgot what the other part of that question was. What did I miss? And oh, what's great about it? Yeah.
What's great about it, especially thinking of people who are very skeptical of early retirement?
Yeah. Well,
what do you know? What do you know that they don't know?
Nothing. But what's great is that you have the option to do what you want, right? It's kind of like, oh, what do I want to do when I grow up? And now you can choose without any regard to whether or not that vocation makes money, whether it is a vocation. It's a lot of freedom that I have never had before. And the location independence, at least for me, is awesome. I've always really enjoyed exploring new places and learning new things. And to be able to disappear for months at a time is a luxury I haven't had really ever in my life. Now that I'm 44 years old and my wife is... she basically stayed home to raise our children. She is educated as a registered dietitian. So she helps keep me healthy too with, pretty good diet, despite my challenges of liking a lot of fatty, bad foods and everything else. But yeah, no, I think just the ability to have that freedom to make the choices you want to make and not be tied down to either debts that you need to pay, retirement savings that need to be made, or a place that you need to be 5 days a week, 10, 12 hours a day.
Leif, a lot of people who leave work would miss the structure of the day. Work tells us when to get up, when to take vacation, when to go to bed, when to eat, et cetera, and things like that. How do you, in your current life and as retired today, how do you handle structure? And do you plan your week ahead of time? Is it a routine that you're into every day? How does that interplay with your spouse and your boys?
Yeah, you're right. Structure is a good thing for people. It's great for kids, especially. We found as adults, I like to have a little more of a freestyle schedule, but it just depends on the week where we are and what we have planned. We do plan some things out. For example, we're following a running schedule. I think we put in 100 miles in the last month. And so that's on the schedule. And then we go to museums, I would say several times a week, because there are so many here to see. And we'll be moving on to the next city in another week or so. Right now I'm planning out to show my parents when they're here with us for a week each in Valencia and Barcelona. So that's on the schedule. And the structure, well, the sun doesn't come up till like 8:15 here in the winter. So I'm not getting up at 6 a.m. like I used to, that's for sure. 5 a.m. actually, 5:15 was my usual alarm clock, and I don't set an alarm clock anymore. But so I find that we're up a little bit later than we used to be, sleep in a little longer than we used to. And our kids at age 9 and 11 now can be pretty independent if they do, wake up a little earlier in the morning. They've got their homeschooling work that they do online, and, they can take care of their own needs to get milk and cereal and that sort of thing. So every day is different, but we do have some structure in our lives still.
And it's a different rhythm of life there, I recall, from where we were there. And it's pretty easy to fall into that rhythm and adjust to it. It seemed more of a healthy rhythm.
I haven't adjusted to the meal times, that's for sure. They don't. The restaurants aren't even open until 8 p.m., and that's when our kids go to bed. So if we go out for a meal, it's usually lunch. They have a lot of price-fixed menus for about 10 euro. That's a pretty good deal. Yeah.
Yep, that's great. So, Leif, I've followed your blog for quite some time, physicianonfire.com. It's geared for both physicians and for patients, people like me. I know it's very popular. You've built a big following, and I think it's got a ton of great info on many topics. I'm curious about the story behind it, though. What led you to create it, and what's that process been like and experience been like for you?
Well, it started when I discovered financial independence about 5 years ago, and that led me to Mr. Money Mustache, a popular Fire blog from a guy that writes in a really interesting way, and I really enjoyed that. And shortly thereafter, I discovered The White Coat Investor by Dr. Jim Dolly, another website that has a lot of great personal finance and investing information, but not so much early retirement. In fact, he had a blog post called 14 Reasons Not to Retire Early, and I felt like I could refute most of the 14 reasons that he outlined. And I decided I would create the blog that I was looking for and couldn't find, which is a financial independence FIRE blog for higher income, higher spending people, because there wasn't really something like that out there when I was trying to find it myself. So I made it a New Year's resolution that by the next year, I would start a website of my own. And I had no real experience with computers, websites, any of that other than surfing the web and the usual things we do with email and whatnot. But it's gone very well.
There are two unique things you do in your blog that stand out to me. One is the Sunday Best that you really do a compilation. And then the Christopher Guest posts are unique. Could you tell us a little bit about both of those, how you came up with those?
Sure. The Sunday Best is my most popular post most every week. And it's a roundup post of 10 or so articles that I find. And I also include the articles that I've posted throughout the week in there as well. Yeah, people really enjoy just seeing the different opinions, different ideas that come from all over the internet. And I put those out there on the Sunday Best. And that's usually where I also include some personal information about just kind of what we're up to, what's new in our lives, and what financial independence is doing for us. And the Christopher Guest post, that is a way to feature other bloggers, kind of like I do on Sundays, but this is one blogger at a time, and the name is a combination of guest post, where someone writes a post for your website, and Christopher Guest, who starred in Spinal Tap, and there's a kind of a Spinal Tap theme of, it's got 11 questions, this one goes to 11, that whole thing. And people have a lot of fun with that. Some of those are very, very entertaining. Yeah.
So last but not least, our final question. And that's, if someone listening is striving to reach financial independence and retire early, what advice would you offer them?
You know, the most important thing is to mind the gap, as they say by the subway in London. You need to, you know, grow the gap between your income and your spending. There are obviously two ways to do that, more income or less spending, and either one will work. If you do both, that'll work even better. But that's what matters by far the most, especially over the short term. Now, over the long term, meaning decades, multiple decades, your investment returns and fees and expenses and all of that matters quite a bit. But over the short term, meaning months to a number of years, it's how much you save and how much you put aside for retirement that's going to matter the most. So I tell my readers, and again, I mostly speak to a high income audience who already has the earnings side pretty well figured out. I tell them to try to live on half their take home pay. If they can basically live their lives on half of what they're bringing home and use the rest to either pay off debt and or invest, then they can become financially independent from being flat broke to being FI in 15 to 20 years, more or less, depending on market returns.
Great. And Leif, how can people best follow your work going forward?
Well, the best way is to find the website, which is physicianonfire.com. And that's a mouthful, so I've made it easier. You can just type in POFIRE.com, POFIRE.com, and that'll take you there. I'm also pretty active on Twitter at physicianonfire, Facebook, same thing. Just type in Physician on Fire. You'll find me. And I run a couple of Facebook groups there where we answer a lot of questions and talk amongst ourselves. One of those groups is called Fat Fire. And that is basically the opposite of Lean Fire, which means a very lean budget. So kind of a higher budget version of Fire. So the Fat Fire Facebook group. And then specifically for physicians, basically MD and DO only, I have a Physicians on Fire group. And that's very active. And a lot of doctors like to talk basically amongst ourselves about, you know, certain sometimes sensitive topics, but just financial and investing topics in general.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it and look forward to continuing to follow your work on Ford.
Well, thank you. It was a fun conversation and I appreciate the invitation.
Enjoy the rest of the time in Spain, Leif. Thanks again.
Will do, Joe and Dennis. Thank you, guys.
Well, thanks to our guest today, Dr. Leif Dahlin. Did a very interesting podcast. Joe, what were your takeaways from today?
I would highlight three things. First of all, I really appreciate him taking the time and sharing his wisdom with us and his story. The first is really about the principles underlying the FIRE movement. I think that the big thing that he helped with is getting us to see the different variations of it. And I'm not so sure always what the attention gets people focus on it, that there are different ways you can leverage it. I think people focus on the initial purist version. And there's a lot of good things underlying it in terms of frugality might be too extreme, but really being sensible and intentional about your resources, money, and time. How are you really channeling that? What's the balance between work and outside life activities? And when you look back on your life, where are you going to regret over-indexing on one versus the other? Different strategies to achieve it, different preferences people have on that. But I think looking past some of the headlines and portrayals of it and really looking at the underlying principles would be my first takeaway. And I think he did a good job of illuminating those. Second is he talked a lot about in different ways freedom, really your retirement, giving that freedom and flexibility to choose more of how you use your time. He's got a very active and unique life that he's creating with his family, so great to see there. And he also talked about it from a financial point of view. And then finally, the purpose and the importance of having something to retire to. So really having that underlying drive. What is it that you're going to? What are you going to build next? And making sure that that's front and center is so valuable. Because without that, it just becomes this meandering long vacation, which is fun for a while, but may not really stand the test of time. How about you?
Yeah, thanks, Joe. I like the way Leif reconciled the non-financial aspects of this. I mean, he clearly had figured out the financial aspects for himself. And he mentioned, among the things he mentioned that the identity shift that he had to make, but that he was able to step away from him being a doctor, or never really held that out as the key thing for his life, for himself, which I think was really important. So making that mindset shift, that critical mindset shift, early on probably helped him a lot on this non-financial side or the psychological side. Joe, you mentioned the sense of purpose that he had for himself. Does quite a bit of work with his website and also his philanthropic endeavors, which can help him, really gives him a true sense of purpose as to where what this life is about for him, which is also important. He's been able, to figure out how to replace some of these things that he was missing from his work life. And then the final thing that certainly resonated with me was the fact that he did spend some time bridging himself down from his full-time job and took less hours at work and started to kind of practice this and kind of figure out how he could do this for himself. So it wasn't a quick jump in with both feet. He certainly worked his way down to that. I think he said it took him about 4 to 5 years.
Yes, and he scaled back to really about 60% of the time. I think you say it was a 0.06 or 0.6 FTE. That triggered memories for me. I remember working with people who seemed to be a 60% FTE, even though they're getting paid 100% as a full-time worker. I think the thing that jumped out to me was the principles of FIRE, reflecting on that again. Also, thank you back to our conversation with Chris Mamula. It's really true. Underlying FIRE are values. What are your core values and how are you going to allocate your resource against them? You can see that in what he and his wife are choosing to do. So I thought that was impressive. I also do highly recommend his blog. I've followed it for now over 2 years, if not more. And always good content, informative, entertaining. He does a lot on the financial side. We don't. We're agnostic on that. And just a reminder, I'd recommend following his blog, but also make sure you have your own financial advisors, different strategies, different people, et cetera, et cetera. That's not our space, but clearly, an integral part of retirement. But very, very entertaining and informative content on his blog.
Thank you for joining us today on the Retirement Wisdom Podcast. You can listen to all episodes of our podcast by subscribing to them on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher, or on our website at retirementwisdom.com.